Okay, good morning.
There you go.
Good morning, Shalom Aleichem, everybody. Welcome inside. Welcome inside to Shomer Torah's Ballroom, Baruch Hashem. It doubles as a annex for davening, also Baruch Hashem. And welcome inside. We are learning the chapter 11, the 11th parak of Sefer Shoftim. And we are going to meet, we met a little bit. We didn't really meet him yet, but we began discussing Yiftach. Yiftach is a fascinating leader in his own right. It is some of the story, not the whole perek, but a majority of the perek, is the Haftorah for Parshas Chukas, which seems a little bit counterintuitive or not something that you'd necessarily expect. And we'll have to see why that is and the connection to that Parsha. But Yiftach himself falls in line with the leadership of Gidon, an unsuspecting leader, somebody that is pulled out of the ranks from a place that you would not expect, not somebody that you would, that was groomed, that went to the best universities, went to the best yeshivas, and it was almost like a natural fit that he would become the leader. That is the exact opposite of really where Yiftach is coming from. The Jewish people at this point are coming off of 45 relatively, quote unquote, boring years where things were just good. Things were just fine. And there was no problem. There was no problems with the Jewish people. And then they begin worshiping idols. We point out they worship 7 different types of idols and they leave God out of the picture. And Ammon and the Plishtim come to attack. And that's really where chapter 11, Perek Yud Aleph, really begins. But before we get into the psukim themselves, please turn. Yeah, go ahead, Michael. As soon as Jews have things good. Right, this is the cycle of Sefer Shoftim. This is a cycle of Shoftim. Right. This is the cycle. Right, it continues. It's a very sad Sefer from that perspective. It's like, come on, you want to like grab the Sefer and scream at them. Come on, let's go. Figure it out already. This is the way it works. So, come on. So, let's look. Please turn to after all the psukim are over. There's some sources here. This is a Gemara Maseches Rosh Hashanah Daf Chafe. The Gemara is quoting a pasuk that we should all be familiar with. You'll tell me where we say this in our tefillah during the week. The Omer, the pasuk says, got it? Moshe the Aharon b'Kohanav Ushmuel, right? B'Korei Shemo. Where do we say that pasuk? Friday night, Kabbalah Shabbos. Good. Moshe v'Aaron b'Kohanav, u'Shmuel b'Korei Shemim. Says the pasuk. Says the Gemara. Shakol hakasav shlosha kalei olam, kishlosha chamurei olam. The Gemara says that why the equating Moshe and Aaron with Shmuel? Like what's going on there? So I would tell you just Kabbalistically, you should know, Kabbalistically, Shmuel is on a higher level than Moshe and Aaron. Ua? Because the pasuk seems to be implied, Moshe and Aaron are equal to Shmuel. That's on a good, that's your homework. Figure that out why. But Kabbalistically, Moshe plus Aaron like equals Shmuel. So it says, however, we learned out something from here, a different fundamental principle. Lomar lecha, Yerubal bedoro, Kimoshe bedoro, Badan bedoro, Aaron bedoro, Yiftach bedoro, Kishmuel bedoro. Yerubal was a code name for Gidon. The Gemara is teaching us, or the pasuk is teaching us, that whoever the leader is in your generation, he is like the Moshe or the Aaron or the Shmuel of your generation. Your generation gets that leader, and that leader should be treated like as a Moshe Rabbeinu. So Yerubal is Gidon, Badan Bedor, we'll see who Badan is later, and Yiftach, our Yiftach, that we're about to, you know, meet in our parak, Yiftach Bedoro Kishmuel Bedoro. Lamedcha, this comes to teach you, Shafilu Kal Shebekalin, Minismane Parnis Alatibor, even the, how would you define those words? The Kal Shebekalin. How would you, simple, would that be? Kal Shebekalin. Easiest or lightest of the light, simple, something like a lower level, right? Implication is a lower level. Kal shebekal and v'nisman eparnis el sibor, but he is chosen as a leader of the sibor. Harehu ke'abir shebe'abirim. He should be like the mightiest of the mighty. The Omer Ubas el Kohanim Halevim Bel Shafir Asher Yebeyemimahim. The pasuk tells us, you have a shayla, you have a halachic question, you have a halachic query in Jewish law. Who do you go to? You go to the Kohanim and Levim and to the Shofet Asher Yeh Bayamimahim. That is in that generation. V'chetala Daska Shah Adam Holech Eitz Adayin Shemal Yebeyamav. Like what? There's a time travel machine and you're going to go to a leader in a different generation? Of course not. Ella, Eitzel Shofet Shebiyamav. Right? You need to go to the Shofet in your generation. Don't complain. Oh, Nebuch, look what we have. That's so sad. Look what they had in the previous generations. So what? Right, so the Gemara is telling you, your leader is fit for your generation. What is the implication of this Gemara? What's the Gemara telling us about Yiftach? Or about Gidon on that, you know, on that matter also. What are they telling us about these two leaders in relevance to Moshe and Aaron? What's the message of the Gemara? Yeah.
Any leader can reach that level, the high level of
emotion. Any leader can reach the high level of emotion.
Maybe not Baba said, but at that level,
okay, Sam is quoting the Rambam. Yeah, Sam is quoting the Rambam Hilchos Shuvah. The Rambam Hilchos Shuvah writes that any of us can reach a level of Moshe Beinu. You're saying that the Gemara here is telling us that same idea. That the leaders here can reach the level of Moshe Rabbeinu. Michael Brivan is going to disagree with you. Michael Brivan, go ahead.
I would think that what it's trying to say, some people might kind of feel that you have to listen to the person in your generation, the leader in your generation, as you would be listening to some people listening to the leaders in previous generation.
Whoever you got, you got. You know, you got to stick with who you have in your generation, right? But the implication is that Yiftach is not close to where Moshe was.
So, as you also said, we have to when people already follow the generation. We do the same thing, right? And Avraham. If he would have lived in this generation, he would have been a great man, even greater than Avraham. Or you could take it the other way. He would have been nothing if he would have been in the generation of Avraham. Avraham was this, and Malka was this. It's very difficult to compare leaders, except if you know exactly what the situation is under which they are leading.
Yeah, so I think Rabbi Lapp is saying, Sam, something similar to what you're saying. Rabbi Lab is bringing it back into the past few parshios, that Noach and Avraham, that great debate about who is, what would Noach be in his generation, what would Avraham be in Noach's generation, what would happen in those. And what the Gemara is saying here is that it sounds like, the implication is that there's nowhere, Yiftach was what this generation deserved, but you should know this wasn't the level of a Moshe or an Aaron or a Shmuel. This is someone different. Doesn't mean his authority level changes, but no, the implication is that he was not. He wouldn't have been the number one choice. Yeah.
Right? That's why Moshe is so great, because the Jewish people there, they were every other week they would be there for Hanukkah. You know.
So that would make it sound like the people the Dor HaMidbar should have a lower leader.
A lower leader, because the bottom line is the Moshe word for the same Jew. So that was his greatness.
Uh huh.
Abraham and Noach, the people during Abraham's time looking for someone to kind of take them, because they didn't see Abraham, everything that was going, they were looking for someone to Abraham. But the people of Noah, I think you were saying, they called the white old man.
Yeah.
So it's a function of the times of people. I think the people make them, and it can rise above the people and do their job, that makes them special. And that's why Moshe was so special.
The leader has to bring people up.
Yeah. So there is, in general, two different types of leadership. Rabbi Chaim Angel, a great quote of him this past Shabbos, has a great article about the leadership of Moshe versus the leadership of Yoshua. I've definitely quoted this before in the past few years, where Moshe was like a top-down leader. And he tried to pull them up where he was. Yehoshua was not a top, but there, with that issue, one second, with being a top-down leader, the people don't necessarily always understand where the leader is coming from. They have always have feelings that the leader doesn't get them, because maybe the leader can tolerate more distress or more uncomfortability than the average person, a la Moshe and the Jewish people, versus Yehoshua. Yeshua, he argues, was not a top-down leader. He was like side to side. Like, he was very much one of the guys. And he rose above it. And he took responsibility, took a chrayus for the Jewish people. He went ahead and led them. And that's a major undertaking. But people had a sense, and he argues this through several different sources, that people felt confident that Yeshua understood them. And that was very important. And his greatest proof for this is that throughout the Midbar, the Jewish people complained, I think, over 10 times, right? Any new change or nuance in the Midbar, there was complaints. In the times of Yehoshua, they complained how many times in the whole book of Yehoshua, where they fought wars. And they were given land and they were moving, right? They were literally had to pick up their bags and pack their stuff. And they were given, you get that plot of land, and you get that plot of land, and you get that plot of land. Right, if you get the wrong hotel room, who's that, right? You're not compared to somebody else. It's a dead bug. The water doesn't work. One complaint, the entire book of Sefer Yoshua. One complaint. It was in the very beginning when they lost against Ai. They got very nervous, and Yoshua gave them confidence. It's not going to happen again. Don't worry about it. We got to follow Hashem, not follow us. One complaint. Fascinating. It doesn't mean, this doesn't take down Moshe's level of who he was, panim upon him, but vis-a-vis the people, it's, you know, you have to think about that. You know, what type of leader there are in the different types. Honey, and I see Melty. Yeah.
Previously, was Moshe and Noah. They were only in a mindset.
Yeah.
They were afraid of this tyrant.
Yeah.
They were just apprehensive, but not fearful.
Correct.
The Torah, the Moshe they were petrified. They couldn't live better because they were scared of this.
You're right. And like they needed a Moshe Rabbeinu to pick them up because maybe somebody that was giving them the tough love was needed there versus something else because this. I'll tell you a great story. I'll tell you a great story. Well, there was a covenant and a promise. Yeah. We always have to say that we are on the shoulders of giants, right? That we're the Sfas MS. I heard the story at a bar mitzvah a few weeks ago. Sfas MS took over. He was a second Ger Rebbe. His grandfather, Chidush Arim, was the first Ger Rebbe. Ger Chasidus was the Gadol Hador, the Chabad Chaim's Gadol Hador in the 1920s, 1930s. Chidush Arim was the Gadol Hador for the Hasidim, and whatever he said really went. It was very, very significant. Ger Chasidus was the, and they're very into Talmud Torah. Two things started out of Ger. Daf Yomi started because many people argue because Ger the Ger Rebbe said this is the right thing to do. It wasn't the Chidush Arim, but it was Ger and women's learning. It was the Ger Rebbe and the Chafetz Chaim. It was the two of them that said we need to go ahead with Beis Yaakov's. And because those two gedolim said it was good, they went through with it. So the Sfas Emes takes over. His parents died young, and his grandfather raised him. Chidush Arim raised him. Sfas Emes. So when he took over, he said, Sonu, what is it? Like, tell us how it feels that you're gonna take over as the new Rebbe. So he said to them, you know, you guys don't know how I feel. He goes, what do you mean? He says, Lamasha Lamada Radonan. You know, there's a big mountain. And everybody tries to climb up this mountain. There's, you know, jagged edges and it's very steep. It's very hard, you know, you got to have the right sneakers on and you got to right climbing equipment. And many people have tried and many people have failed. And finally, there's this one guy that is, you know, his whole life is dedicated towards, you know, climbing this mountain. He goes and he tries and he takes breaks and he has like the right amount of power bars in his pockets and he has the right amount of food and everything. And he finally makes it to the top. And he's there at the top and the peak. And he goes, I'm the first guy ever to make it to the top of the mountain. And then he turns around to the top of the mountain. He sees a little kid. He goes, what are you doing here? How'd you get here? He says, I don't know. I was born here. So Sfas Emes says, I don't understand. I was born at the top of the mountain. Right? I was born here. This is where I don't know what it means to climb up here. And get there. I was born my grandfather is Chidush Arim. I was born here. I have to have my own challenges. I have to now understand how people get up there and raise the people up. Right. So I think that's a perspective also that we owe so much to the previous generations. We can't take away from a Moshe to Yoshua. God forbid, but understand, but there are different models of leadership. Yeah, Milti. Your hand was like 10 minutes ago, to be fair. Okay, great. So let's begin. The Yiftach HaGil Adi. Go to the turn back to page one. The Yiftach HaGil Adi. I want to point out, this is why it's so much nicer to learn in person. You can really have, Zoom is great, and it really is. It's so amazing. But it's so nice to learn in person because we're able to have like a give and take in a very, very easy, you know, organic, nice way. And it's it helps, you know, raise up the level of learning. The Yiftach Hagil Adi Hayagi Borchayo, who ben Isha Zona, the Yolad Gilad Es Yiftach. Oh boy. Yiftach Hagil Adi, he comes from the region of Gilad. We've learned about Gilad, Yair Hagil Adi, we've learned about it. He was Gibor Chayo. He was a man of valor. Who was his wife? Esha Chayo. Okay, that was a joke. Okay, who ben Isha Zona? Nobody liked that one. Vayoled Gilad Es Yiftach. So he was, his mother was an Isha Zona. Oh, ooh. So what does that mean that his mother was an Isha Zona? And why do we really need to tell everybody about this right now? What? Right, so we discussed this last week a little bit. And some say she really wasn't a Zona. She was a he was a son of Pelegesh. Ooh, no. No, a Pelegesh is a marriage without responsibility, but it is a connection. There's no ksuva and there's no kiddushin in that relationship. But a Pelegesh, a son of Pelegesh, does get Yerusha from a father. It is considered a child. It's different. Targum Yonasan says, Zona comes from the word mizonos, right? Which means food, like Rachava Zona. And then I found the Rabbeinu Bachya. Rabbeinu Bachya, in his Sefer, his Perush in Chumash, writes the following. When the daughters of Tzlovchad, I am a card-carrying member of the Tzlovchad fan club. So, Tzlovchad, there's a concern with Tzlovchad's daughters, because if they get Nachala, that's wonderful, that was a Psak Halacha, then what's going to happen if they get married to a man from outside of their Shevet? It's called Hasavas Nachala. And then it belonged to Menashe, but now they're going to marry a nice guy from Issachar, right? They love Torah. They're going to marry a guy from Issachar. What's going to happen? It's going to lose, right? It's going to lose a name Menashe. It's going to be Issachar. So that was a concern. So the halacha was for the first few generations, they were not allowed to marry men outside of Menashe. That's what the pasuk says. The pasukim say in Parshas Maase, and then Rabbeinu Bachya, you can see it. It's at next source after the Gemara. The Rabbeinu Bachya writes, "Oh, this is what it means." Vayiftach Hagiladi Hayah Gibor Chayav Hu Ben Isha Zon. That he was a Gibor Chayav, and he was a son of a Zona. What does that mean? Imo Shal Yiftach. Haisa Basio Reshes Nachala Vinasev Lashevet Acher. She was not a Zona in the classical or contemporary way of understanding what a Zona was. That she was an only daughter, or was in a family that only had girls, no boys. She got Nachala from a different Shevet, and now she married a man from this Shevet. Apparently, even in that day, it was derogatory. The outgoing Shevet looked down upon this person because, like, by you marrying outside, there's no nice Menasheans, that you had to go outside and go to a different tribe. So, no, you're saying it's crazy. They should choose. What do you mean?
Some concept. One tribe, she married some people. One tribe,
we're all Jews. You're 100% correct. There was a concern. There was a concern back then of losing Nachala. It's something I think hard for us to understand. On one hand, the other part, it's you're right. It's confining a woman to only marry certain people.
It's putting too much emphasis on mom and parents.
Right.
To get it as like today, lots of people they do things for schar. You got to do things a certain way. You got to own a business with a guy and make him the bond by chance. So for money talks, it's the whole emphasis on money and not treating people equally. They should be treated equally and not worry about trying to come from.
Right.
It really is the source of all evil is money. And we're just feeding right into it by allowing
it. Right.
The other thing is,
yeah,
I'm sure they didn't think of it back then, but marrying in your own tribe leads to genetic disorder.
Yeah, there are plenty of people in the tribe.
I know.
Okay.
So you can marry outside and it broadens the whole
thing. Get it back. I mean,
I hear.
The real reason.
This whole issue only applies if there were no brothers.
Wait, yeah, what? Yeah, the no brothers, for sure. Look at a random community. I don't know. It happens. It happens.
Seems to happen only once, you know, with the Nelson.
Right. Or they are the ones that, yeah.
Say that they were in the same culture.
Right. Maybe it was very rare. Very rare. Yeah. Nonetheless, I thought it was interesting, a different understanding of what was happening here. Nonetheless, however you want to say this, he was different than his siblings. And that's very, very important. Vayola Gilad Yiftach. Gilad had Yiftach. Vateled Eshes Gilad Lobanim. Right? The wife of Gilad had other sons. Vayigdadu Vene Haisha. All the sons were, you know, grew up. Vayigarshu as Yiftach. Vayomer Lo Lotinchal. Veves Avinu. All the sons, you know, grew up and they kicked Yiftach out of the home. Ki ben isha acheres ata, because he is the child of a different wife. Ba yivrach Yiftach mipnei achav, Yiftach ran away. Ba yeshe be'eretz tov, he went to a land called Tov. Ba yislaktu el Yiftach anashim reikim, ve yetsu imo. Yiftach was a leader in his own right. And Yiftach became a leader over this riffraff, over Anashim Rekim. And the empty vessel, like, you know, people that, you know, that we, maybe some people would look away from, you know, or were uncomfortable with. Yiftach, you know, collected them together. And, not Erev Rav, but Misfits. You know who else did this? Who else in Tanakh took out and what, you know, had a band of empty people that were with him? David HaMelech. David HaMelech did the same thing. David, right? Being thrown out of the house by your siblings, like, is like the marking of a leader. I don't know. It's obviously not a good thing, and we shouldn't joke about it, especially today. But you do see that you have Binyamin. You have Yosef, and you have David. Even David's father, when the prophet Shmuel came to him and said, one of your sons is going to be the next leader of the Jewish people, he's like, oh, this guy, that guy, right? And what? What'd you say? Right. It's a very biblical narrative. I will tell you. Right, and people didn't see him in that way. They thought the whole family was Mamzerim. Wasn't just, I mean, because they all were related to Russ. It wasn't just, yeah. Yeah. Right. What Michael is pointing out is, if you look throughout Sefer Bereishis, which we are right now very much in the middle of, it's the youngest that usually rises above. The one that is ignored or overlooked is the one that rises to be the leader. Yishmael, Yitzchak, he's the youngest. Yaakov, you know, Yaakov and Esav. Yaakov is the younger one who gets more attention from Abba. You know, you could talk about that. Why did Esav need more attention? Obviously, Yosef and the brothers. You see this throughout. Even Aaron, Moshe, Miriam. Aaron, Miriam, Moshe. Moshe is the youngest of the three. Not to take away from Aaron and Miriam, but you see that there is this pattern here. It doesn't mean that the youngest is always destined to become the greatest. But what you do see here is that just because you're the oldest, it doesn't mean that you have an easy, you know, easy path to leadership. Leadership is earned, regardless of where you're from, regardless of what your lineage is, regardless of where you're born on the mountain, right? Leadership is earned. Yeah.
It's a medrash, it's parents, a replay of Rachel's with the father thought he was a monster, didn't want anything to do with his wife, and then somebody brought her to her. She could see this.
That's how David was born. That's how David was born? Okay, I have to look into that. That's a medrash? Okay, I have to look into that. Okay, yeah.
I think being the oldest is a lot more difficult than being the youngest. The expectation from an older child is much greater than it is from a younger child.
Yeah, I think there's a pressure. There's a pressure there.
Go ahead.
Are you the oldest?
The parents have to get it right. By the second or third or fourth child, maybe they
ease off a little bit. The Jewish people are also called Bini Bechor Yisrael. Jewish people are called the oldest child. We're not called the chosen nation in the Torah. We're called the oldest. We're like the oldest child compared to the younger siblings of the rest of the people. It's very important to frame contextually for who we are. Okay, so he is kicked out of the house. He goes to the land of Tov. You know, just cynically, it's funny that he gets kicked out and he goes to the good land. That wouldn't be where you think you get kicked out of your house. You go to that land. I think that's very, very fascinating. And the Medrash writes that he went to a place that was Pater Mimaisros. He went to a land specifically that was outside the land of Israel. The Yerushalmi writes us, Mar Yerushalmi. Why is that so? Why did he go to that place? Because he wanted to avoid seeing his brothers. He felt that it was best to avoid machlokas. And he went to a place where he didn't need to end up going to Yerushalayim once a year to drop off Maaser Sheni, eat Maaser Sheni in Yerushalayim to avoid confrontation. Likely he would bump into them, and he wanted to avoid that. That's a very important thing too, to avoid not confrontation, but avoid machlokas. Vayhi miyamim, pasuk dalet, vayilachamu b'nei amon im Yisrael. The Jewish people, you know, came to be, the Jewish people were preparing for war against the people of Ammon. When the Ammonites were getting ready to fight against them, the Ziknei Gilad went up to take Yiftach from Eretz Tov as their leader. They wanted to return him and bring him back. Vayomer liYiftach. So you're Yiftach. Before we get into this, you're Yiftach. You go back. Your people need you. They want you to fight. You've achieved a reputation as a leader, as a tough guy, as a warrior, somebody brave and courageous. But you're rejected by your home, by your Beis Avicha, your Moladetcha. Do you go back? What do you say? What would you do? So Mandy, you think you would go because you would say that I want to show you that I want to go back, so I want to show you what you're missing, what you could have had.
If you want to show them that they were wrong.
That they were wrong the whole time. What?
Eretz Tov.
What about it?
Where he spent time. Why is it called Eretz Tov?
So the major Yerushalmi writes, it's Tov because you're exempt from Maestros.
That's Tov.
So that's what we said, because he didn't confront the brothers. You're right. It's
like living in Florida.
State tax. There you go.
It's outside.
That's why we have 6-monthers on the... Okay. All good. Okay, so what? Let's see his reaction. Vayomer lo Yiftach, and you have to think also, like, how are they gonna? Are they gonna massage this over? Are they gonna address this? Like, we made a mistake. We messed up. We need you. Like, how? It's a game of chicken sometimes with like who's going to apologize, who's going to own up to it. So let's read that into, let's see if there that is there, if there is a subtext there. Vayomer liyiftach lecha vayisid lanu lekatzin v'nilchama b'vnei Ammon. They said to Yiftach, so the Vayomru means that one guy didn't go, but they went as a group together. That's chashivas, you know?
That's his brother, it's just saying that.
No, not necessarily. Ziknei Gilad, the elders of Gilad, whoever the leaders were of Gilad went. And they said, we want you to be our katsin, v'nilchama, and that we could fight with you against Ammon. Vayomer Yiftach leziknei Gilad, halo atem senesa musi. You want me back? You kicked me out of town. You threw me out on my back and, you know, and slammed the door behind me. You hated me. V'tigar shuni mi beis avi, right? Beis avicha, you kicked me out. Umadua basen ilam, ata kasher tzar lachem. And now, all of a sudden, things are bad for you. You come begging back. And I should say yes? Huh. It's ridiculous. Vayomru, right? So, checkmate, right? So, they didn't own up to anything. They just said, we need you to be our leader. And then he responds by really putting it in their face. What do I owe you? Why should I go with you? Vayomru, I want to say also that you see from here also, people feel rejected. He was rejected. But it wasn't like he felt rejected. He literally was rejected. But you sometimes have people that grow up in fine Jewish communities, go to fine yeshivas, high schools, seminaries, and they feel rejected. And that feeling of rejection really creates a sinah towards a community, an institution that's very, very hard to ever get away. Presumably at this age, this is like decades later, right? This isn't, they didn't have therapy. They definitely didn't have genealogy back then. They didn't have these, but decades later, and this still gnaws at him. It's still very, very hard to get over it. You know, 10, 20, 30 years later, it stays within your psyche and rests within your mind. And it just, it's probably bringing up all these horrible thoughts and feelings that he had, then he was left all alone.
But I think when they approached him, usually if you approach someone else, the history has been so bad, you come in kind of apologizing.
Yeah.
For your action,
yeah.
You ask for something. That's
yeah.
The way of doing this coming in saying, we need you by itself, you're not going to get it. For most people, you're not going to get a quick response.
I hear. So let's see if they can rectify this, right? Yeah, what are you reading from?
Same thing here. But it says in one book, it says we have the same.
Oh, very good. Very good, Michael. Yeah. Well, we're going to see it soon. It's on the sources. Yeah. Very good. Okay. Good. Michael's on the ball. Listen. Vayomer ziknei Gilad. Try number two. El Yiftach. Lachein atah shavnu elecha. V'halachta imanu. V'nilchamta b'vnei Ammon. So they say, Lachein atah, therefore now. Right? Therefore now, meaning therefore this is why we return to you. Meaning, in the word lachein, there's a lot of a deep message there. Lachein means, yeah, you're 100% right. We ruined your life. We rejected you. And we are here now. We're owning up to it. We need you. V'halachta imanu to come with us. V'nochamta v'nei Ammon. V'yisa lanu l'rosh. l'chol yoshvei Gilad, to be the Rosh of all of Gilad. Michael already pointed out that what did they call him before? What did they ask for him before? What position did they give him beforehand? What did they call him? A katzin. Katzin in the army is today in Tzahal is a very important position. So before they said, we want you to be a katzin. And now they said, we want you to be a Rosh. So turn to the sources here. You see the Malbim picks up on this language. The Malbim writes, Yesh Hevdel Bein Rosh Lekatzin. Hakatzin, what's the difference? To us, they just mean two military leaders. What's the difference? Hakatzin hu amed b'kseh ha-mechana machmas chashivu so ma'losa b'gvur. A katzin is somebody that stands at the extremes, like end of the army, to show his chashivas and his milos, that he is the leader. He stands at one side, oba osho b'chachma, because of his wealth, his status, or because of his intellect. Hagam she'en rosh u'moshelim. He's not the head. He's not dictating leadership here. Kimo shemalacha katzin tialanu. Vineheim lo dibru ito b'tchila al scharo acharei ha-melchama rak al ata. So initially when they went to him, they said, we need you now. And it, as if to say, when the war is over, you'll go back home. And he's like, go back home afterwards? Chutzpah. I can't believe you would say that to me. I can't believe it. Oh no, we're really sorry. Really sorry. Please. So he says, no. He said, what do you mean we're giving you a chashiv spot? You're standing on the side. You don't have to fight in the war. You're one of like the military intellectual geniuses that are going to, you know, form a plan. He says, no, that's not what we want. That's not what I want. Kekatzin eno harosh. It's not the leader. Where the buck stops with them. That's not who you're asking me to be. He says, that's not who he wants. Turn the next page. Then they say, return to us. Right? That's the language. Return to us, meaning before the war ends. After the war, return to us. Be with us. We need you here. Emes kidvarecha, you're right. Ki mikedem saneinu oscha v'ra'anu lach. We hated you, and we made you into the enemy. Avalachein atashavnu elecha be'ofen shlotelech bavur ava. U'bavureinu rak tikach maskortecha. Before, we weren't asking you out of love and out of any connection, relationship with you. We, what do we want? We're going to pay you. Here's some money. We'll pay you for your services as a mercenary. You'll go back home. No. We're going to go together. You are the warrior. You are the general. You are the one that it's Yiftach's war. You are the guy that's leading. Moshe Dayan, right? You are the one in charge. This way, we're obligating ourselves that after we win, you will be our head, not a katzin, but a head. Like the one that the whole war is attributed to. Even if you are looked at as the lowest, you are going to be our leader above all of us. So that is the conversation here. And ruler. Thank you, Michael. And ruler over everyone. Vayelach Yiftach im Ziknei Gilan. So what does he do? He goes. Wait, sorry, I skipped the pasuk. Yud. Vayomer Ziknei Gilan el Yiftach. Hashem Yeshomea Ben Oseinu im Lok Tverecha Kinaseh. Hashem meaning Hashem is going to listen to us. Meaning, if I don't, we don't follow what we're doing, then Hashem is going to, you know, take that out on us. So, and this is exactly what happens. Yiftach goes with them. They go with him, right? They go together. Im, right? There are two words. The Rav points us that actually in last week's parsha, amazingly. Vayelach ito lot, or vayelach im lot. In the beginning of Lech Lecha, it was they walked in together. Later on, when they left Mitzrayim, it was vayelach ito lot. What's the difference between im and ito? They're the same. They mean in English the same thing. With. Im means that you go together with the same mindset. You're on the same page, the same team. You're not just walking together physically, but you're all together. Vayelech ito means you happen to be walking together, but for completely different reasons and roles and responsibilities. When Lot left, a wealthy man after Mitzrayim, he had no longer any interest in Avraham and what Avraham and Sarah were doing. He didn't care anymore. That's when things completely changed. Vayelech ito Lot. See here, Vayomer Vayelech Yiftach Im Zikne Gilad. At this point, they were biyacha, they were together. Vayesimu Amo So Alehem Lerosh Lekatzin. They made him the Rosh and the Katzin, the decision maker and the leader. Vayedaber Yiftach, it's called Rav Lefnei Hashem B'mitzvah. And Yiftach, at this moment, right, what does that mean? That he spoke before Hashem B'mitzvah. Simply means that he davened to a Kaddish Baruch Hu before mitzvah. And Rashi points out over here that when you're with the majority of the tzibur, the Shechina is shore on this person. The Shechina is shore on the individual, meaning he became the leader. To what we were saying earlier, did he deserve to be the leader? Was he of the highest status? Not necessarily, but he was their leader. He was a flawed. We're going to see a flawed leader, but a leader nonetheless. Yes, Sam? Yeah. That's a good question. We'll talk about that next time. What's the difference between a Rosh and a Shofet? And Rabbi Moshe Lichtenstein, we didn't read this inside, but he has an article on arguing that some of the flaws that come up in Yiftach's life are come out, stem from the notion that he wanted to be a Rosh and not a Shofet. And that's a difference. Okay, so you're on the ball with him. Okay, we'll stop here for today. And Be'ezras Hashem will continue next week.